Hello, dear ones, and welcome back to the Research and Reference Devotional Theological Podcast. It is Monday, September 25th, 2023, and by the grace of Yahweh, we are able to come back to our study and discussion of the Word of Yahweh. Research and reference, right? And we are making our progress through John. And we are currently in John chapter 5 and looking at John chapter 5 verses 25 through 29. So let's take a moment and read our portion. Truly, truly, the Lord Christ Jesus speaking here. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. He, being God the Father, gave him, the Lord Christ Jesus, God the Son, authority to execute judgment, because he, the Lord Christ Jesus, is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and they will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Thus says the Lord. Now, as we were discussing, there's a lot of information here. You know, and we say that with every passage that we've been going over thus far. Even throughout the whole Bible, it's just full of information, full of points of facts to ponder on. I mean, if you were to read the Proverbs, for example, you just take one verse of the Proverbs and ponder on that for like a week or something like that. I wouldn't suggest it. So you could, and then as long as you're doing it alongside Bible reading and all that stuff, not just fixated on one thing. But we're just, you know, whenever you come to a thought in the Bible, it's good to look at what the points of information are that we are being told. And this is why we are going really thought by thought. And sometimes we find more information, and sometimes, you know, it's more narrative and we don't need, and we, while we could look at it further, we just look at it however many times. So we're not trying to pad for time here. We're just taking it as the information comes. And really in this section, we see like the first part, being the how everything begins with God and is through the Son, and you know, the Lord Christ Jesus says, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And so we see the work of God, right? We see God speaking. It is initiated by God, and upon speaking, then those who are his respond. The Lord Christ Jesus says later on here in John that my sheep know my voice and they hear me. Talking about those who are not his sheep will not hear and obey him. He was talking about false shepherds and saying, you know, my sheep know me and they'll come to me. They won't come to a false shepherd. That's what the Lord Christ Jesus was pointing out there in that. And here you see in verse 26, we see the Lord Christ Jesus saying, just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. Now we're going to look more closely at this, Lord willing, next time. But the whole dynamic here is that life is solely found in God, and it's through the Word. That's what we're looking at, through the Word, solely through the Word. Because remember, in our last section we were looking at, and, well, in verse 24, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Belief in the word. So the word has to be spoken first before belief happens. So you can't believe in and of yourself. You can't decide in and of yourself. There has to be the proper and accurate proclamation of the word of God first, which is what we discussed from Romans chapter 1, verses 16, 17, and 18, and Romans chapter 10, specifically 10:17, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of Christ. And then furthermore, in going a little bit further back in John chapter 5 and in verse 21, For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. So we're seeing a progression here that the Lord Christ Jesus is talking about. First of all, God gives life. Life is not found within us. It is God who gives life. It is God the Father who gives life through the Son, through the substitutionary atoning work of the Son, through the imputed righteousness of the Son, and it's through the gracious indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as we were discussing, and then if we go then to verse 24 of John chapter 5, we see more specifically that it's God the Father who gives life through the Lord Christ Jesus, and it's upon the hearing of the word. He who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. So we see the dynamic that preaching is involved. And then again, in here, starting in verse 25 of John chapter 5, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Through the word. It's only through the word. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. And then once again, for just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. Now, it's not that this is not showing that the Lord Christ Jesus was created. This is showing the fact that the Lord Christ Jesus, you know, has the exact same characteristics and attributes as God. That is what we are looking at. But this time, I wanted us to look at what are considered the solas. Now, technically, there's five. We can add a sixth, being through the Holy Spirit. I don't know the Latin for that, so we could just say solely through the Holy Spirit. But we should look at this, because the first one is sola scriptura. Through the scriptures, or by the scriptures alone. Now, these are just thoughts in which to hang our hats on. They are, of course, biblical. We're going to look at the biblical verses for these. But these are thoughts to hang our hats on, because the focus in all of this is God, dear ones. The focus is on God. So we have sola scriptura, it's through the word of God alone. Solus Christus, through Christ alone. Sola Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone. Sola Fide and Sola Gratia, through faith and through grace alone. And then, of course, it's through the Holy Spirit alone, where salvation comes from. And all these are biblical, and it all points to God, because whenever we're looking at these things, we have to remember that it is the gospel message to be reconciled to God the Father through the Lord Christ Jesus under the gracious indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There is no other way. And even in that one, even in the gospel message, it's be reconciled to God the Father through the Lord Christ Jesus under the gracious indwelling of the Holy Spirit through the word of God. So the first one here, sola scriptura, Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 10, the aforementioned passages which we have been considering and we will continue to always consider, because it's through the word, it's the work of God. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 16, Paul saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jews, then to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, verse 17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then verse 18, for the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in all unrighteousness. Now, that's all one thought right there. That is all one thought. Now, people, once again, unfortunate chapter breaks, unfortunate thought breaks. People like to put 18 as something else, where it's not. It's within the full thought of 16, 17, and 18. And it's there because of the fact that it's the gospel is dual-purposed. One, it is the power of God unto salvation, from faith to faith, which is the most beautifulest of passages and the most gracious of passages. But also, we see that the natural man rejects the truth of God, and the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and all unrighteousness. Dual purpose of the gospel. There's always that dual purpose. We look at John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God, for the Father so showed his unconditional benevolence and charity upon the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on the name of the Lord Christ Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see that the first purpose is primary and specific. Those who believe believe on the name of the Lord Christ Jesus, believe God the Father concerning the Lord Christ Jesus, they have eternal life. But by way of implication, those who do not believe are in eternal death, and will ultimately go to the second death, and they are still under the law. They are still under the law. Now, dual purpose of the gospel. The gospel is where God the Father calls those who are His and draws those who are His to Himself through the Lord Christ Jesus. And it's under the gracious indwelling of the Holy Spirit through His Word. And the second purpose, the second thought there in that is that those who are not of God, those whom God the Father has not predestined and foreknown, they reject the Word of God. Now, this is all the working of God, because even those who are truly of God would reject the Word of God had it not been for God, first of all, predestining and foreknowing them before they did anything. And secondly, it's through His work giving them life. Whenever we hear the proper and accurate proclamation of the gospel message, if we are truly of God, then the life of God is bestowed on us from faith to faith. Beautiful passage, beautiful thing there, where we see true godly faith flowing from the Father through the Lord Christ Jesus, and then it's instilled in us and activated in us via the gracious indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Agape, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The whole dynamic of faith in there being activated in us is one of the manifesting works of the Holy Spirit within a person. True godly faith is not natural to natural man, and it's solely through the Word. So, it's solely through the Word. Now, we can't use the excuse of, well, if we didn't hear the gospel, then we're not saved, so that's not our fault. Well, the entirety of mankind is without excuse, because in our natural state, on our own accord, we suppress the truth. We do not honor God as God, and we do not thank God, and we suppress the truth in all unrighteousness and in all ungodliness, and we regard the truth of God as foolishness. Now, Plagianism, Arminianism, Athenianism, the whole decisional thing of Billy Graham, totally false, totally heretical. And, you know, the whole dynamic there is if you don't hear, then you can't believe. And if you don't believe, well, then you didn't hear. So then there's a possibility that you can be saved. That's the kind of the going thought. Well, no, it's not. Again, because every man is without excuse. The heavens declare of the glory of Yahweh. The very fact that creation is in existence, as we're told further along in Romans chapter 1, shows that the entirety of creation and the fact that it remains in existence to this day is enough to condemn mankind in our natural state on our own accord because of our disbelief and our not honoring God as God, nor our thanking of God. So you cannot use that excuse, well, they didn't hear the gospel, they didn't believe, so it's not on them. That doesn't matter, dear ones, because all sinned through Adam, and we are all guilty and accountable in the sight of God in our natural state, on our own accord. And the only way to have true life is to be called out of the darkness and into the light by God the Father through the Lord Christ Jesus, under the gracious indwelling of the Holy Spirit, through the hearing of the Word of God, because this ties in with Romans chapter 10, where we're told concerning if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, you will be saved. But how will they believe upon him whom they have not heard? How will they hear unless someone preaches? How will someone preach unless he is sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. So we see here this whole dynamic that someone has to preach, preach properly and accurately in order for there to be the proper and accurate hearing of the Word of God, which then, you know, goes into the quote from Isaiah, who has believed our report, and then, you know, goes on to say that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of Christ. So, and even that whole dynamic in believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth denotes the fact that we have to obey if we're truly of God. It's not just some lip service, just some intellectual belief, whatever. You can't, as R.C. Sproul has said before, you can't experience Yahweh and not be changed. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, in the remaining time that we have, it's solely through Christ. You know, there's no other name under heaven for salvation. John 3:16, as we just mentioned, for God the Father so showed his unconditional benevolence and charity upon the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on the name of the Lord Christ Jesus shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, you will be saved. And that belief can only come through the hearing of the Word of Christ, through the gracious indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It starts with God and ends with God. So it's through Christ alone, solus Christus. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we get sola fide and sola gratia. Through faith alone, by grace alone, and faith that is activated within us. Through faith alone, through grace alone. Ephesians chapter 2, and starting in verse 8. And then to the glory of God. You know, we're supposed to do everything we do unto the glory of God. The very fact that we're created in the image of God shows that we are image bearers, and we are to glorify God, all to the praise of the glory of the grace of God in Ephesians chapter 1 there. The whole dynamic of even being saved in the first place is so that we might be holy and blameless before the Father through the Lord Christ Jesus, that we might walk in the good works which God the Father prepared for us to walk in, because we are his workmanships. Not of our works, lest any man might boast. It is the work of God. And so, to the glory of God, because it is God who shows the work. Which then, this part also disproves the heresy of Pelagianism, Arminianism, Finianism, and, you know, the decisional, your decision, your choice from Billy Graham. Because it starts with God the Father. Again, just from here in John chapter 6. Now, we could go back into John through John chapter 1 and see it again. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. You know, in him is life, and this life was the light of man, showing the fact that life is found nowhere else. But once again, we see in John chapter 5, more specifically, the Father raises the dead, and it's through, and gives them life, and it's through the Lord Christ Jesus. I mean, we even look to Ezekiel chapter 36 to show the fact that God is acting for the sake of his great and holy name, which has been profaned, not for our sakes. And it's all the work of God. He is the one who will remove our idols and sprinkle us with clean water, and we will be clean. He is the one who removes the dead heart of stone and replaces it with a heart of flesh. He is the one who puts his spirit within us. So once again, through the Holy Spirit right there, even in Ezekiel chapter 36, it's through the Holy Spirit. And also in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, concerning the working of the Holy Spirit within a person. And also in Philippians chapter 2, work through your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. But we see that it's God the Father who puts his Spirit in us in order that we would walk in his ordinances and be careful to observe his statutes. To the glory of God. because God is the one who gets all glory, honor, and praise, and he's supposed to. And, you know, part of the whole dynamic is we rob God of his glory. But Yahweh says specifically in Isaiah that he will not give his praise to another nor share his glory with anyone else. So the very fact that we see him glorifying the Son and giving him and that we are told that God the Father has given the Son all authority, and the fact that the Son also gives life at the behest of the Father, we're seeing the very deity of the Lord Christ Jesus, because once again God the Father will not share his glory with anyone nor give his praise to another. So all the praise and glory goes to God. And this is why we have the solas in order for us to hang our thoughts on. It's from God. Salvation belongs to Yahweh, and it's bestowed upon whom Yahweh wills, for no other purpose than Yahweh just giving it to those whom he wills alone. And it's not our choice. Solely, it is given by God, according to God's purposes alone. Amen. All right, dear ones, we now come to today's scheduled programming here in Research and Reference Devotional. And this is for Reformed Radio. And once again, it is September 25th, making sure I have the right date here. I switched it to Monday, but didn't have the right date. All right, so September 25th, 2023, Monday, and we are in episode 184 here in Reformed Radio. And our discussion from John chapter 5, verses 25 through 29 concerning the solas, that's uploaded on Bandcamp, and then that and today's scheduled programming is uploaded on Subscribestar. I always seem to forget that. I have to remember it. But anyway, so that's uploaded on Subscribestar. And then John MacArthur, we start Matthew chapter 24 today, verses 1 through 3, concerning the first part of the signs of Christ's coming, his second coming, of course. And then with Martin Lloyd-Jones, we are in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30 still, and we are looking at the first part of Secure, and then tomorrow will be the second part, the Lord willing. And then with Alistair Begg, we are in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, concerning keys to spiritual fitness. And then with Research and Reference Devotional, we are reviewing what we've done so far in the one-off audio articles, and we're in audio article number 38 concerning the problem with media. And then on the Bandcamp page there in the description for the song, it shows the list there, but we discuss those. And then for the weekly links, now we are in the 16th lecture for Ezekiel, and the link to that, and then there's a link to the 12th lecture in the study of Romans. And then in the for the reading in the Old Testament, we have the link to the full reading of Lamentations. And then for the New Testament, we have three links for 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. And then the hymn of the week is Be Thou My Vision. We have the link to that. And then the link to the empty calendar demo is there as well. I finished new vocal recordings. I wasn't happy with ones I just did a couple days ago, and so I just totally retracked the vocals. So I hope that I'm totally digging the new vocal direction, and I think it gives the song somewhat of a new life, and I added some more instrumentation to it. I still need to add a little bit more instrumentation and then mixing and mastering, of course, but I'm liking the direction of this song. And I did kind of start the sketching out the artwork. I just need to get that finished also for this track. So making good headway here in this. I'm still hoping and praying that it stops my wanting to browse the internet, take away from my screen time there, so that I might occupy my time more in a godly manner. So I'm hoping that this works out. And I do hope and pray that this is to the holiness of God, focusing on the holiness of Yahweh and all to the praise and the glory of Yahweh, as we were just, of course, discussing in John concerning the solas and whatnot, and that we're focusing on the glory of God, soli Deo Gloria. And with that, dear ones, I pray that we all might focus on Yahweh's holiness. And I pray that Yahweh bless us and keep us and make his face to shine upon us, that we might know him more and more. I pray that we might be conformed to the will of the Father and be conformed to the image of the Lord Christ Jesus. I pray that the Holy Spirit might teach us what we need to know, and that my words might be true, and that the Holy Spirit might grant us ears to hear in order that we might hear. And I pray that the Holy Spirit might convict us where we need to be convicted, and that the Holy Spirit might grant us apprehension of divine wrath and great sorrow over sin, and that Yahweh might create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, and that in that we might throw ourselves at the mercy of the court, you know, like the tax collector that the Lord Christ Jesus talks about wouldn't even look to heaven, but was beating on his breast, beseeching the Father to be merciful to him, the sinner. May we have that demeanor about us, and might we respond in repentance and obedience. And seeing as this is through the Word, I pray that we might, and seeing as we've been talking about in John, that it's sola scriptura, through the Word alone, I pray that we might receive the Word daily, eagerly, and that we might eagerly examine the Word to make sure that what's said concerning the Word is within the confines of the Word, and that the Word of Yahweh might master us, because it's only in the Word where we are being progressively sanctified. And I do pray that we act in the manner in which we are being sanctified. And I pray that the Word of Yahweh is our daily sustenance, and we treat it as such, and we don't neglect it. And I pray that we might be renewed in the mind through the Word of Yahweh. And as we're told in Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, might we serve Yahweh in fear. And as we're told in Psalm chapter 5, verse 7, might we worship Yahweh in fear as well, because we are to fear Yahweh. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and to turn from evil is understanding. Or as we're told at the end of Ecclesiastes, fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this applies to every man. Or as we're told in Philippians chapter 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is Yahweh who is at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Obedience is required, and obedience does show salvation worked in us, and it's only through God. If we don't fear Yahweh, then we show that we don't understand. And to try and explain away the fear of Yahweh is almost to show that you don't understand. So we need to keep this in mind. And yes, it is to fear Yahweh. And with that, dear ones, I thank you for tuning in. I pray that this has been a blessing and a benefit to you all. And the Lord willing, Yahweh willing, we will pick up our discussion, our theological discussions again tomorrow, the Lord willing. And so until then, dear ones, I bid thee adieu.